Right now, we are joined by the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He is entering his fourth season with Minnesota. A Big Ten Coach of the Year, led Minnesota to 11 wins for the first time since 1904. Minnesota won 7 Big Ten games for the first time in school history. They were 11-2 last year. They finished the season ranked in the top 10. It was a great season. We are joined by PJ Fleck. PJ, there is only one way that you and I can start off our conversations. And even though we're catching up during a really unusual time, I do have to ask yet again, how are you doing today, PJ?
I'm doing elite, Jim. Appreciate you having us back on the show.
It's good to have you back on the show, and I knew that would be the answer. Let me ask you this. I think a lot of us are asking this question of ourselves. How are you staying elite right now under these circumstances?
Well, I think creativity. I think that's the name of the game right now. You know, we all have the same type of rules and stipulations of what we can and cannot do, but finding creative ways. You know, everybody's got virtual visits. Everybody's got the recruiting part. Everybody's got our position meetings, team meetings, virtual voiceovers that you're doing with your team. But what do those look like, and how are those being run? And I think it's just brilliant of how our coaches have been able to do it. We have a very creative staff, a very youthful staff. I mean, I'm the fourth oldest guy now on my staff, and I'm only 39. And it's just they're working really hard. And we were on a quarterback's meeting this morning, and it was just so refreshing to see how Coach Sanford was doing it. Not only just the football part, but the, all getting to know each other and keeping everybody connected during the time that we're all going through right now.
We were talking to PJ Fleck. You know, PJ, obviously this is a time of pain, a time of suffering as a result of the coronavirus, but can you also make the argument for being able to come out of this better, stronger, and even more compassionate than before?
Yeah, who's to say the new norm, right? I know people hate hearing the new norm, but who's to say the new norm can't be better? Is it going to be a little awkward, going to be a little tough for a while? Is it going to be hard to get used to? I'm sure it will be. But at the end of the day, hopefully we can get back to some type of normalcy when we continue to go back from this. But we're all going to learn from this. You know, who's to say that the lessons and the things we've been taught from this, what we've learned as a country, what we've learned, how we can do things virtually, can't make our world better. And we can add to what we had before. But, you know, my wife said it best, you know, when this thing started, my wife said that I feel like, you know, Mother Nature's told us all to kind of go to our room and think about what we've done. And she was 100% right. Because when you think about this, this is a tragic time for so many people, whether that's health or whether that's finances, whether it's job securities. I mean, our new norm was just washed away. Our old norm was just washed away. And with it, a lot of people's jobs and dreams and futures. And it's tough with that. But we all have to kind of look at, you know, what's really important to us. And, you know, this has given all of us a time, about 8 weeks, to reflect, spend time with family, really evaluate how what our lives look like and how they could be in the future. So I do think that there always is silver lining. I do always think that the glass is half full, and I do think we can come back better from this than we were in the past and take all the lessons we've learned and apply them to not only the old norm, but what the new norm is going to look like.
PJ Fleck is joining us. You know, a really interesting response. I wonder, when you mentioned that maybe we learned some things about ourselves where virtually we can do certain things that maybe we didn't do in the past, I wonder, PJ, like, for instance, you can't speak for every coach, but you can speak for yourself and your staff. Do you think that maybe you might work in a different manner now based on what you've gone through? Or as somebody who cares so much and works so hard, frankly, do you think you might go back to doing it the way you always have? And will most people approach it that way?
Well, I think there's going to be a combination, Jim. I really believe that. I mean, I've learned so much about the virtual world through Zoom. I mean, my goodness, Zoom has changed our entire life, right? FaceTime's one thing, but Zoom, if everybody together. And I think there's times, you know, we're talking the coaching profession, there's so much time away from your family. There's so much time on the road. There's so much time that you're not with each other. And I think this virtual world has really been able to make me, as a head coach, reevaluate my entire schedule for the entire year for our coaching staff. We can get a lot done from the virtual side, plus get a lot of the work done from being in person, but we can make it maybe all work, especially with our family lives. So there's a lot of things we can do virtually. There's things you can do when the players are away. I think it's really unique, and I think we're going to be applying a lot of lessons we learned from this as we move into the future, and that's what we're going to take from it.
PJ Fleck is joining us. You know, I mentioned what an amazing year you had last year, and the internal expectations, it seems to me, are not going to change as a result of a season like that, even as good as it was, but the external expectations certainly will. So how do you approach that? Do you shut out those expectations, or do you learn to work with them and use them to your advantage and lean into them?
Yeah, first and foremost, nobody's going to put more pressure on our team than us. Nobody's going to put more pressure on me than me. Nobody's going to put more pressure on our players than our players. And we're at a point now where we consider ourselves a player-led team. You know, bad teams, nobody leads. Average teams, coaches lead. Elite teams, players lead. And we felt like we got to that point last year where our players really took over. I mean, we have 5 4-star recruits on our entire football team. And we're going against teams that have, you know, 50 and 58 and coming out with some victory. So we knew we had to be this player-led team because the expectations were internal. You know, we were picked 6th in the West last year. So the external expectations, there was nothing, but we had high standards of ourselves. That will never change. But our players are dealing with something that this year is a little bit different because there is that external expectation. And the kind of the visual theme for the year is windows, because we can look out and see whatever we want in the window, but now people are looking in our windows and know what we're doing. They're studious in the offseason. You're not going to surprise anybody anymore. So the external expectations are really shared with our players. I always share the outside with them. We want to be an internal out, inside out program where we change the way people feel about us, not the outside changes us. We want our culture on the inside to affect the world, not the world to affect us. So we want to make sure that we dissect all that. So we're very open. We're very honest. We had internal expectations last year. We have them this year. But being picked from the external part this year is going to be a little bit different for our players. So what we've been able to do is be able to give them those external expectations, talk to them about those things, and let our culture process it.
Minnesota head football coach P.J. Fleck joins us for a few more moments. See, when you talk about expectations and pressure, you go back to before that Penn State game last year, you had everybody write down on a piece of coal about the pressure, what they felt, and what they had overcome. And then before that game, you reached into that bucket of carbon and you pulled out a diamond. It's an amazing speech for those who have not seen it. How do you as a program then transfer that pressure into diamonds? Like, is it just a matter of showing up and being consistent, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, the actual slogan for the year is do it better for longer. You know, last year was find ways to do things smarter, not harder. This year is better for longer. You know, the two games we lost, Iowa, Wisconsin, we were consistent, but we weren't consistent enough. And that's where we need to be able to get back to. You know, this whole pandemic's going to be able to change a lot of things for a lot of people, but pretty much everybody's on the same page. I mean, when you look at it, we're all dealt the same type of card where we couldn't have access to our players. So the most mature football teams will come out of this ahead. And what do I mean by mature? When doing what you have to do becomes doing what you want to do. You know, there's so many things our players are going to have to do to come back, whether we get 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 4 weeks to get them acclimated before a season, if there is a season. So the teams that have been doing what they're supposed to do, academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, nutrition, weight room, football, the people who have been doing what they're supposed to do are going to have a huge advantage when we come back, because they'll be able to pick up where they left off, not necessarily have to, you know, rebuild themselves. And so I think that's where we find that we trust our football team, love our football team, and know that when they come back, they'll be ready to roll.
So, PJ, finally, how do you consistently get anybody, much less a bunch of 17 to 22-year-olds, to do something or make something that they have to do, something they want to do? Because I think right there lies one of the secrets to life in and of itself. How do you convince people to do that and think of it that way and change their mindset?
Two things. One, cultural sustainability, you know, having the same culture over a long period of time where they can build within the culture. And then finding cultural ways to teach lifetime lessons. You know, we're all educators. We're all teachers in the football department. I mean, we teach football, but yes, we're teaching more life than we are football, especially in our program. This is a life program, not a football program. And so for us, it's finding those cultural ways to teach the normal lifetime lessons that you're teaching the same things almost every single year, but you're doing it in a way that every student athlete can relate to. You know, it's always like when I was back teaching sixth grade elementary school, you got 35 sixth graders who all learn 35 different ways. And you have, as an educator, you have to make sure every single one of those people who learn differently, who have a different range, who all, you know, whether it's audio, visual, whether they have to learn by touch, you're applying all of that to your daily lessons. And it's the same thing in college coaching, in my opinion. Whether you're teaching X's and O's, or whether you're teaching life, you've got to find those cultural ways that are really going to give those players that aha moment, I got it, based on their life. You know, and I've always used the example, if you're still talking about Michael Jordan and Larry Bird as a rivalry, those kids don't get it. Now, with, you know, the Last Dance, they probably now know, but you've got to use things in their life, like Kanye and Drake, to be able to give them, oh, I know what that rivalry's like. So it's those types of things, you know, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly, that continue to build within your program, but also separate from things you've done in the past.
So finally, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about it as you and I were talking, and I wasn't sure whether or not to bring it up because I didn't want it to come off the wrong way. I mean, in terms of football, PJ, obviously, I mean, you're going to dominate that aspect of your coaching and your teaching, and I don't want to sell that. I don't want to short sell that in any way, but I was going to ask, because we're talking about so many things that are not football related, how much of what you're coaching and teaching is about process and culture and mindset and discipline as opposed to just pure football?
Well, it's a combination of all of it, but I think, you know, your core values, you know, we have what we call the hyperculture, right? The HYPRR. So the how is the people. Then you have the yours is the vision. Then you've got the P is the process, which is the work of everything, which all spells hype, right? So the people, the vision, and the work, it's either real or it's fake, period. Whether it's football, whether it's life, whether you're being taught something, everything there is prior to a result. That first R is a result. Then you're going to get data. That's what results are. And we value them so much in our society that everything's poured into that. But it really should be poured in the people, the right people that you have inside the organization, and then the vision, and then a process of that work, and then you're going to get a result. And how you respond to that really is a difference maker. So I would think, you know, we are football coaches, and we do a ton of football, just like everybody else. But the football fits in the culture. And so the football doesn't come before anything else. It's all mixed in almost the same, because there's a high standard of what our culture dictates. And whether that's academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, because, you know, we had the greatest season in Gopher history, one of them, right? I mean, 11 wins and, you know, first time in 116 years. But we also had a 3.21 GPA, which is the highest in the history of the school, right? So they go hand in hand. You can't be elite in one area of your life and not elite in another area of your life. You're either elite or you're not. And so it's all intertwined, one, with how we coach, because the way we teach and the way we coach our X's and O's is, again, fits within our culture, right? We have to maximize that teachability. So I probably didn't answer your question, but it's all intertwined. If I give you a percentage, I don't even know what the percentage would be, but, you know, we're football coaches. We are. But we're more life coaches than we are football coaches, and everything fits into this puzzle, because inevitably, if you're just putting football above everything else, eventually that's going to wear off. Your players are going to see that, and it's going to be more of a business than, you know, this true, fun, exciting experience that they want to be at. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of that.
And to answer your question, yes, you did answer my question. I'm glad I asked you. He is the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He is entering his fourth year with Minnesota, already a Big Ten Coach of the Year, and what a year it was last year. Hopefully we can get some football soon, PJ, and we can see how it plays out. It's great to have you back. You know, I appreciate the relationship. Always good to talk to you, PJ. Thanks so much. Stay elite.
Always honored being on the show, Jim. Thanks a lot. Row the boat, Sky. Go Gophers. Thanks.
PJ Fleck.